Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann, and with us this week is Mark.
Hello.
And that's it. That's all you get, guys. It's just the two of us today.
Yes, because
it is Father's Day.
Yes, one of us is a father. Not one of us. One of the other hosts who's not here. And then the other one is
working
and probably dealing with a lot of fathers and thinking, these sons of biscuits.
Are they really thinking sons of biscuits?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to look out for the fathers who are listening to this with their little sons and daughters. Don't ever do that. John, Lunchbox, one, happy Father's Day. Don't let your son Declan listen to this ever. And also happy Father's Day to Rich.
Yes.
And to my father, also named John.
Yes.
Though I never call him John. I don't really call him Dad either. I just say, hey, you.
Your dad should just name himself Hey.
Yep.
All right. Well. Well, yes. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And you know, whatever.
Yeah. And before we get started, I just want to say there's a link on the site. You can just find it at the top of the store link, or I'll have a link in the post. But I did a piece for the horrible thing that happened in Orlando, and currently all sales from the month of June from Imprint Store for all the prints, I will be donating all of them, all the funds, to the One Orlando Fund. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thank you very much for doing that. I thought that was very nice for you to do. I seen that and I was like, oh crap, that's awesome. So,
and I'm also thinking about printing up like little business card size things on thicker boards with that on it, and then taking them to either this event I know that celebrates a lot of the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community, or to the Pride Parade, and then giving them out, which would basically have the image on there, and then something along the lines on the back that's like to share this, you know, repeatedly to someone you love, so that it's just like this never stopping, always going on cycle of people just, you know, giving the card to someone who they love, someone who's important to them, and just like to pass it on. So I might do that as well.
That would be pretty neat.
Yep. Yeah.
And anyway,
speaking of art.
Yeah, last year I kickstarted a book by Larry Elmore. He was putting out an art book for all of his black and white pictures. Now, in 2014, he had also done a book for all of his color pictures, and it did really well, and people were like, why don't you put your black and white ones in a book? And so he finally did, and so he had a Kickstarter for it, and it's like the second Kickstarter I've ever done that's been successful. So, and one of the stretch goals was that you would get to visit his studio one day, at a date for, all the Kickstarters that wanted to come. Now, what's really good about this is that he lives in Litchfield, Kentucky, and, which is an hour and a half away. So that was just perfect. But for people who don't know who Larry Elmore's art, who Larry Elmore is, his art is very famous, and you've probably seen his art if you've read any fantasy novels or anything like that, because he's done so much art for different books, covers and everything like that. How I know him specifically is from Dungeons and Dragons. He did so much of the art back in the day, of the novels for Dragonlance, Forgotten Realms. He's done the Shadowrun cover, for the second edition. That's one of the most popular, you know, Shadowrun pictures ever. I think it was even used as the cover in one of the games at one point. I don't know. But so the Kickstarter stretch goal was that, hey, he would have a visit. So that was yesterday. And I had my friend Jesse with me, who was also an artist. And I invited Will, but Will couldn't make it because he was going to be in California, and he was going to be so disappointed because it was pretty cool. Larry, I believe, is in his 70s now, and his So he says, we're going to a studio, you know, I'm expecting just like a studio, just like, I don't know. It's actually his 3-car garage at his house, which I thought was really cool. So, you know, and there was about maybe 15 people there at one time, maybe a dozen. And he just sat around and he told a lot of stories and he was selling his artwork. Basically, he could get any of his prints for half off. The funniest part was that when I got there, my stomach had been turning for like the last 45 minutes before we got there. And I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. So I had to drive back to town because I was like, I'm not going to go into this guy's house and try to use the restroom. That's just wrong. While I was gone, my friend Jesse stayed behind and Larry started telling the story about the Dragonlance. There's a picture for the Dragonlance. It was the Dragonlance adventure game that was for second edition D&D, and it's a campfire scene with all the characters from the first novel. And it was like one of my favorite pieces ever. And while I was gone, he talked about this piece and how much he hated it and why people liked it so much. And so when I came back, I had just come back and I went over to the prints he was selling. And sure enough, I picked that piece up and Jesse started laughing. He's like, dude, he says he hates that piece. I'm like, really? But no, it was fantastic. He told stories and stuff about his life and how the business works. And it's so weird how these artists work. This guy has made novel covers and everything else. And when you call to order something, 99% of the time it will be Larry that actually answers the phone to put your order together. And he's like, he'll call and people will be like, is this Larry? And he goes, yeah, what do you need? So it's so unique to see that how this business actually runs when you sell these prints and stuff like that. Cause you would think that this is like a huge business. And he told this wonderful story about how he had an assistant and this lady was like, well, we could sell your stuff on eBay. And he's like, what do you mean selling on eBay? He's like, well, I don't know how to do all that. She's like, well, I'll do it for you. He goes, fine. If you want to do it, I'll give you an extra 20% of whatever the sales are. And so her eyes lit up, he said, and she knew she's going to make a bunch of money off this. And he would be like sketching stuff out and he would put it on the table and she would be like, snatch it up. He's like, I'm not done with that. She goes, yeah, this will sell a lot. This will sell a lot. So he got to the point where he was like, he had to hide certain pieces of art because this woman would try to sell it on eBay before he was ready. Cause he was like, no, I need that sketch. So I just thought that was funny. He just told a bunch of stories and he signed everything. And what was really sad is we had to go to a wedding. So we didn't get to stay as long as we did. And so after Jesse had bought his art and had it signed, we start to leave. He's like, are you guys leaving? And I was like, yeah, we got to get to a wedding. He's like, oh, well, have a nice trip and be careful. And it was just really cool that he was so like approachable and stuff like that. And so, I hope he does another Kickstarter. Apparently he's got a coloring book coming out, one of the adult coloring books. Mm-hmm. And, I think that would be, I don't know if that's a Kickstarter or not. I need to look that up, but I hope he does another Kickstarter and has another visit. Cause I definitely want to take, Will and his fiance out there. Because I think that would be awesome.
Looking at his art now, it reminds me of like the art for like Golden Axe and that type of
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah, definitely. He does a lot of chainmail bikinis and stuff. And he said that he told this story too about when he got married. You know, he had his house and he had all this art hanging up on the walls. It was all fantasy art, you know, dragons and castles and everything like that. And he's like, his wife moved in with him. And, you know, he was always had all this art and she was trying to decorate the house too. And he come home one night because, you know, he bought all these swords and stuff like that. Cause, you know, as an artist, when you're doing this kind of artwork, it's nice to go out and buy like physical swords so you can see how they look and stuff in the art.
For reference material, it's always better to have an actual physical object if right. you can. I mean, some things it's like, well, I want to reference this car. I'm not gonna go out and buy a car, but if you can go out and like look at one and take your own pictures, I mean, having your own reference material is always better than like just looking online. Or even, I don't know when he was doing this, but I mean, you'd have to go to like the library. You don't even have the internet.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing this stuff since the 70s, and so, you know, but anyway, he had bought these two large, he said like they were like war knives or swords, small or short swords or something. I don't remember what he described, but he went to go hang them up on his wall, and his wife's like, no. And he's like, what do you mean, no? She goes, that's it. You're not hanging any more of this stuff up on the wall. This is our place. We're married. And he's like, but I like these swords. And she's like, no. He goes, fine. I'm going to get my own studio, and I'm going to hang everything I want up out there. And she goes, good. You go take your Yodas and shit out to your studio. Yodas and shit. That was like his term for like the day, Yodas and shit. So I thought that was just a funny little story, but I had a great time. I really wish I would have got to stay longer. And I know Jesse was real excited because, like I said, Jesse's an artist as well. And he's like walking around and he's like, he's getting ready to leave. And he looks over and he sees these pencils that Larry's been doing a lot of the drawing and stuff with. And he said, they kind of remind you of an X-Acto knife where you unscrew it and you put on your own tips on mm-hmm. these pencils and stuff. And he was like, he'd been interested in these pencils for a while. And he said, Rob, it kills me. He says, I wanted to ask Larry about those pencils. And he said, but I knew we didn't have time. Cause that man, he's at one point, he starts signing these pictures and, these little, like the black and white pictures from the coloring book. He only printed out like 50 of these or something. They're like limited edition because he said he'll probably never print another one because the book's coming out and everything. But, you know, every one of these pictures, he would tell the story behind this picture, and Jesse's waiting in line to go. And I keep looking at my watch. It's like 2:30. We have to be out of here at 3:00 to make this wedding. And I'm like, oh God. And then we're like, Jesse goes at one point, you know, he starts talking about this stuff, and then he leans back in his chair and he puts his hands behind his head and he starts telling the story. And Jesse's like, Jesus Christ, I'm never going to get this stuff. We're never going to make it to the wedding. But it was funny because everything was a story, but it was so awesome. And I guess when he go to conventions and stuff, he sells these little 8x10 pictures of his novel covers and stuff like that for like $5 a piece or 3 for $10. He just had a box of them over there, and he's like, yeah, those are for all the visitors. You can just take one of each if you want. And I was like, and some of them were really famous, like Dragonlance pieces. So I felt bad. I didn't want to get all of them, but I probably grabbed about 8 or 9 of them, and he signed every one of them. And I was like, you don't have to do that. I was like, I just want the big picture signed. He goes, no, I don't mind him. He just signs all of them, Elmore 16. And he signed my book that we kickstarted. It was just a fantastic. He's such a nice dude. It's amazing to see an artist that famous and just be so friendly and laid back. It was amazing.
Sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that is a testament to like him being from the time he is, where it's like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, these older artists who've been around for a good long while, they're a lot more humble. Not mm-hmm. to say that current artists aren't, but you have your ones who are like more like, oh, I'm hot shit.
Right.
But yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And also, I think what makes it a lot cooler to visit a studio for someone like him is that a lot of contemporary artists, especially in like this field, you know, like
fantasy art,
tabletop RPG, no. fantasy art or comic art or the like, a lot of them are digital artists now. Mm-hmm. Or
oh yeah, he talked about that.
So he, I'm sure, is probably 100%, or if not, you know, like 95% still traditional artist, yep. which means his studio is, I mean, he needs a studio. It's not like, oh, I just need a tablet or whatever. He has all this stuff, so it makes it a lot more interesting because, like, that's how I primarily work. I really don't do any touch up digitally.
Yeah, he talked about that. He said, you know, he's, you know, a lot of art nowadays is all digital. And he goes, for me, what's neat is that, they don't have any, you're not going to find much of this stuff anymore where you just have like this original sketches and stuff because it's all digital. There's no original sketch. It's all done on a computer. And he's like, and people don't even hardly do that anymore. I mean, there are people that do it, but he was explaining it just like, you know, hey, here's this, I, you know, hand drew this piece and then I worked it into a piece of art and, you know, now there's not going to be this original sketch or anything anymore because people don't do that. And he also talked about most of his art used to be oil paintings, a lot of it. And that was what was cool because he's got his easel out in front of him and you could see the strokes where he would put the paper at almost 90% of the time and you could see where he went off the paper and stuff with the oils and stuff like that. But he says people are scared to death of painting with oils because they think if they mess something up, it's over. You know, you're done with. And he's
that's
like, it's
the opposite.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. He says it's exact opposite. It's like if oils are so easy to use because if you mess up, you just take paint and paint right over it and just fix it.
I mean, the beauty of oil is that you can mess up and you can fix. Like the drawback to oil is that it takes so long to dry. So mm-hmm. if you need to make something quick, you're going to want to use acrylic mm-hmm. or something like that. But oil is an incredibly versatile paint, and I love oil. It just is if you're on a you know, you're under a stress of, in terms of time and need to get something done quickly, then oil's not going to be your friend. But oil's an amazing medium.
Yeah. See, I wish you could have got to go with me. I think you'd have loved
it. Yeah, it sounds awesome. And he sounds like an awesome guy.
Yeah.
I should, I was going to say, like, no, I'm never going to end up going down to Kentucky.
Yeah, we'll just go down to Kentucky one day and show up at Larry Elmore's house. Just knock, knock, yeah. knock. I know where he lives now, so, you know, we're cool.
Like, I'll go down there next time he has a Kickstarter and does this thing, but then I'll be like, what? I'm going to take the train down, and then you'll be like, you pick me up, and then I'll spend the night in, like, your living room floor or whatever, and then I'll take the train back.
There's no train that even gets to Kentucky.
Probably not.
But, no, it was fantastic, and his studio was a 3-car garage, but there is like, it is filled to the brim of books and crap. He's like, there's hardly a surface to lay anything down. It's funny. But yeah, this is how this old school business runs. Like Margaret Weiss, who's a author of the Dragonlance novels, the biggest author for Dragonlance that they've ever had, best times, you know, whatever that list is, national mm-hmm. bestseller list. When you go to conventions at Gen Con and go to her booth, she's the one running it. That's absolutely amazing. She's there. She will sign your shit and everything. Just like Larry, when I bought the original colored book, I didn't kickstart it. But when I went to Gen Con in 2014, he was there and he signed the book and he asked me where I lived and he talked to me for a few minutes. He knew exactly where Henderson, Kentucky was. And he goes, yeah, that's right across the river from Evansville. And I was like, yeah. So it was really neat. So yeah, he's just a cool dude. And
is he going to be at Gen Con this year?
He's in Gen Con almost every year. He said he was talking about Gen Con. So he said he was going to go. So he goes to Gen Con and Dragon Con and all those. And he usually has a booth.
Yeah. So. Gen Con makes sense since it's a very, you know, tabletop oriented. Mm-hmm.
Plus it's not that far away from him, mm-hmm. you know, so. But yeah, it was a great time. So, yeah. Oh, damn, I spent about 17 minutes talking about that. 16 minutes.
Well, I mean, it sounds awesome. And it's not like we have any. I mean, that's the most interesting thing to talk about this week. I mean, E3, whatever.
Yeah. But, so let's get on to some E3 talk. So what was the most exciting thing you think you've seen, Mark, at E3 this year?
The funny thing is, when I talked about this on my podcast, I realized when talking about it, how forgettable so much of it was. I only watched the Sony and Microsoft press conference, but mm-hmm. I'm just like, I could not remember things like the Final Fantasy 15 demo. I completely
it was fucking
forgot
terrible.
Until the end, and then I was like, oh yeah, it's because it was awful. It looked terrible. Oh my god. But
that was like the worst. It's like every demo they show this game, I think, is worse than the last one.
I initially thought like, oh, is he gonna run up him? You know, is he gonna be like the Shadow of the Cloud? And it's like, no, just like. He kind of, I guess when he jumps on the hand, it's like, well, it's just that there's a surface there, but then he slips right off when he moves it. And then I guess it looked like he was like, the dodge just turns you invisible so you can go through the hand. Because he wasn't like rolling out of the way or like, it was just like a swipe across the ground, but he kept out. I was like, I don't know what's going on. This does not look fun. It looks at least prettier than the last demo, but that's it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This game worries me. And I know 90% of it's going to be... And the demos they start well. The demo they brought out was fucking terrible, and the demo before that was terrible. But I could at least see. I think if it had started, if the problem is with this demo is you need to start somebody at the very beginning and show them how to play the game, because just drop them in the middle of a story somewhere in the middle of nowhere in this game, it just doesn't really do it for me. I want to be able to start from the beginning so I get to know the characters and know how the game works with the other three companions. And it's like none of the demos that have come out. Except for that very first one that you could only get through that game, whatever it was called.
13 Dirt, I don't know, Dick-a-doodle. Tecmo Doodle Pala?
No, I don't think that was it.
I have the game. I don't know what that was called.
But, Type Zero. That's what it was called. Final Fantasy Type Zero. that demo showed how to use all the characters and stuff like that. But everything about this game, I worry about it. And part of me is like, it feels like they're trying too hard to capture this audience that doesn't play Final Fantasy games. And I don't think this is going to be the game that captures those people to play Final Fantasy games. So I don't know.
I don't see, like, if that's what they're trying to do, it doesn't make any sense, because it just looks like a Final Fantasy game with a terrible combat system. It's like, I would be more interested if it was classic turn-based, you know, combat. I don't want this, like, crappy, like, hack and slash garbage.
And so that's what the problem is I think that's what people want.
Same type of combat from Kingdom Hearts? Because I don't remember.
No, it's Kingdom Hearts combat was actually fun. This is not even that fun. I don't know.
Like, I don't. Maybe there's more to it when you get your hands. I don't know, because I'm trying to think, like, the games that have these kind of action combat that I remember them actually being fun. But this just looks terrible, like Tales of Vesperia, or you know, other stuff.
Yeah, this is the combat for this is just so, like, unfun and confusing, and it's like you got to pay attention to how the enemies move and stuff, and I'm just like, It just doesn't feel fun. It doesn't flow very well. It, you know, it's action based, but they're still trying to make it like timing based, and you need to pay attention to these meters that are running across the screen, and you got to watch you can't get too tired. And that was the problem. It seemed like, you know, two or three shots, I was so tired that I had to lean up against a freaking, that was something else. Like, to heal, you had to lean up against a rock and catch your breath.
Is
and
it was get away.
It was just terrible. It's just,
the,
I don't know.
The worst thing about that stupid game, you heal by leaning against a wall.
Well, I guess it's more realistic than just randomly hiding somewhere until your health comes back up. I mean,
maybe you have to find, like, bandages or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not just heal against a wall, and then you see the blood splatters in your jacket just disappear. It's like, that's how it works.
I feel like they're trying to hit on this group of people that never play Final Fantasy, and none of these people are going to play this game. They're going to say, oh, that looks so cool, and then they're never going to buy it.
People who never played Final Fantasy should just get Final Fantasy XII when it comes out.
Yeah.
Another game that looked terrible. what's its face? The new, what is it? The fan, what is the Platinum Games game? That stupid thing with the headphones.
Scalebound?
Yeah.
I think that game's going to be awesome. I think that demo they showed was shit. I think that four-player demo.
I'm just basing it off the demo. The demo looked bad. And I was watching the demo, and then I was looking at one of the guys playing. I'm like, why does he have those stupid headphones around his neck? He's not going to be wearing them. It looks stupid and uncomfortable. Why are they there? And then in the game, he puts them on. I'm like, oh, that's why. Still stupid as shit. He doesn't need to be wearing around his neck.
Last year, they showed off a demo of the actual open world stuff, and that looked really awesome. And it looked way better than Final Fantasy XV.
I mean, it could be good. It just looked like, I don't know, like the kind of combat I expected in late PS2 games.
Eh, I'm sure it'll be better when it comes out. I hope it's going to be better.
I hope it's going to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, from conceptually, it's interesting.
It's a cool idea. It's kind of unique. But, see, I'm trying to think of what else.
We should just talk about Microsoft, since we've already covered two games there. For me, with Microsoft, like, what I think the difference, and we'll then move to Microsoft only, but I think the main difference between Microsoft and PlayStation is that PlayStation was all about games. Microsoft was really about user experience and all of that. They were like, okay, you are going to be able to, you know, play your game on Windows 10 or Xbox in a lot of cases. Or, you know, we're going to have this new console that does this. You're going to be able to create clubs. You're going to be able to, you know, design your own controller. You can here's this new system that'll be coming out, which the Scorpio, I'm so confused about after hearing Phil Spencer talk about it on Giant Bomb, because he was basically saying nobody really needs this unless you're going to be playing in 4K, because that's all it's really for.
He came out and said no, that's not what he really meant by that. He was saying that if you use it on a regular TV, it's going to be, you're going to still have greater, you know, you're still going to have a greater experience. But he says this is almost like their elite console for the the people that are into tech and have 4K TVs, this is going to be the console they definitely want because they would take advantage of that.
That sounds scary because it makes it sound like it's going to be expensive.
That's what I'm worried about.
Which it shouldn't be. It should be $400 because when tech advances, tech also gets cheaper. And it's just like you look at every time the new iPad comes out, it doesn't come out for more expensive. It comes out, you know, and they bump up the specs pretty decently each year. They just drop the next. I mean, what they should do is have the current Xbox One, the Fatties, $200. Then the Slims, $300. The Scorpio, $400.
So I'm looking. I'm guessing that the Scorpio is going to be about a $600 console, if not more.
That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah.
And I've 100% like that thing is not going to sell at $600. You'll have your techies or whatever get it, but no, that thing is not going
to
sell at
they
all.
Need
if they
need to
do that.
You're right. They need to get it to $400. Now, if they will or not, I don't know. I'm looking to hopefully.
And also, I mean, if they did that, if they did like the 200, 300, 400 thing, you'd have your people who want the 400. You know, even people who like double dipping, but that $200 system would sell like crazy, and that would help them get, you know, closer to Sony in terms of market share. Like that thing would sell like crazy because the original Xbox is not a bad system. It's not that much worse than the PlayStation in terms of what it can do. And you know that
we're fed this line of bullshit that the PS4 is so much more superior than the Xbox One, and it's a big line of bullshit.
I think you know what helps Sony is that technically it is a bit more powerful, but Sony just has, I would say, better capable first party studios in terms of from a technical standpoint of getting that visual fidelity out of games.
I mean, look at how Uncharted 4 looked. Not how it played, but at least looked at how pretty it was. And, you know, and you know, that's amazing what that game looks like.
Though I will say this, I don't know if this is the case for you, but I think the PlayStation 4 does a horrible job with shadows. Anytime I'm in a dark area, it's just like, I can't see shit.
Really? I don't have that issue.
Yeah. It's like, I don't get it. And I don't think it's my TV because I never had the issue on the Xbox One or anything else.
I hear a lot of people complaining about the shadows in the Xbox not looking like shadows or the darkness. It has a oversaturation of black, so maybe that's what causes it. Maybe I can't remember what they call it.
You know what's really terrible? Talking about the pricing, we hope for the upcoming Xbox SKUs is that the Wii U is still $300. What the fuck?
But I'm excited for ReCore, although I don't think the demo they showed was the greatest. I mean, the trailer.
That immediately made me not excited. I was excited last year when they showed the little teaser, and then this thing was just like, I don't get any of it. Like, there are people who have talked about it who have seen more of it, I guess, and they compare it to Metroid Prime because they're people from that studio and stuff, and that, like, that has me interested, but that...
I hear it's a cross between Mega Man and Metroid Prime, which is exactly what you would expect since it's made by those two people.
Yeah, I mean, the pedigree makes it sound really, really interesting. And what I've heard about it from people who have seen more of it makes it sound like it could be very good. But, just like that trailer was terrible.
But the thing is, it's not even a AAA game. It's a $40 game.
That doesn't surprise me because I don't think it looks that great visually.
It's a small team. People don't realize it's not a huge team that's putting this game together either. So I think they should have maybe explained that at some point so people didn't get overhyped. But I'm still excited for the game. I think it's going to be a cool concept. And
I wonder how long it'll be.
I don't know.
Because that is kind of surprising because you think, like, that's 40 and then No Man's Sky is 60.
Yeah. And No Man's Sky has infinite amount of stuff in there.
I'm not as down on No Man's Sky as you. I think the lawsuit for that is so ridiculous, Sky TV. It's not No Man's Sky TV. They don't own the sky, dumbasses. But like for Microsoft, what I'm super interested in is Forza Horizon 3.
That looked gorgeous.
It looks amazing, and I think Australia is a perfect place because it has a lot of variety. I just want to play it right now because those games are super, super fun. And then there's something else. Yeah, I already forgot. Like, there are indie games that, of course, I'm interested in. I think We Happy Few is a weird game to be in the preview program because it seemed to be very narrative-based, mm-hmm. and that just seems weird for an early access game because then you'll be playing through it and then you're not going
to
play it again.
That's exactly what I told. That's what exactly what I said to Steven because he was like, I can't wait to buy it. I'm like, I'm going to wait till it comes out. I'm like, I don't want to play through it and be done with it before the game's actually done.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like I would want to go back through there and I don't think I'd want to go back and play that game again once I finished it once.
Yeah. It's just weird. Like, it makes sense for games like The Long Dark or Elite, you know, games that are just, like, meant to be played over and over again or, you know, whatever.
So. But that game does look pretty cool.
Gears of War looks pretty.
Yeah. People were shitting all over Gears of War, and I'm like, I thought it looked really cool. I mean, it doesn't.
Those people probably all own PlayStations.
I mean, I'm
just excited for some more Gears. Get some of that Horde mode and all that stuff.
Yeah, because Judgment was not Gears. I don't know what Judgment was, but that wasn't Gears.
It was something. I don't remember hating it. I did not enjoy it, like, as much as the proper Gears game, but I'd probably say it was, you know, like, a 6 or something.
Yeah. I would think about a 5, but, you know. Anyway.
What the hell else was at Microsoft?
The controllers. That was cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it would have been so much more impactful if it was not leaked so heavily is Dead Rising 4.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That trailer was great. And I was just like, I wish I knew nothing about this and that I was just super surprised.
And to get people are still confused. All I heard was like, it's a remake of the first game. I'm like, if it was a remake of the first fucking game, why are they calling it Dead Rising 4? That doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's not a remake of the first game. It is its own. They're going back to the mall area of the first game, but apparently they've rebuilt it, so it's a memorial mall now. And I guess shit goes down again, and it also contains the countryside as well. So that sounds fucking fantastic.
I love Dead Rising 3. I love Dead Rising in general. I'm just excited for that.
I keep saying this. Dead Rising 3 is the best exclusive I've ever... day one exclusive I've ever played. That I can think of.
It is one of the best, yeah. I would definitely say. I don't... like, because I can't remember. Like, oh, like, weren't...
Since Super Mario World.
That's what I was about to say. I'm like, Mario games, like, wasn't also Mario 64 day one?
Yeah.
So I'm like...
But...
like, outside of Nintendo, because Nintendo's Nintendo. I would have to agree from my memory. And you know, I think the Xbox One launch lineup was actually very good overall for a launch lineup. Because I think Rise was a very, very solid game.
Rise is okay, but
I really liked it.
But
and then State of Decay 2.
I'm excited for that.
Can't wait for that. I was kind of surprised by the 2. I was expecting it to be like World of Decay or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they were talking about like an MMO, but yeah, it's like a 4-player.
Yeah, it's no MMO in this one yet, so. Which is good. I don't want it. I really think an MMO would ruin this gameplay. Yeah. I think it'd be fun with 4 people, and if they want to do an MMO after that, then that's great. But I think we're seeing the downturn of MMOs finally. People just aren't as excited to bring those out unless they're free to play right off the bat. You know, it seems like every MMO that comes out has failed.
So. I would be all over World of Warcraft if they made a console version of it.
I keep getting this feeling that we're going to get Final Fantasy 14 on the Xbox One.
I want that. I'm so...
I honestly thought that we would get it at E3. I really had this feeling in my gut that they were going to announce Final Fantasy 14 was coming to Xbox One. So...
And the last thing about Microsoft was just the hilarious. Like, I was so confused when they had the trailer for Tekken 7 or whatever, because didn't they open it with Akira? And I'm just like,
yeah. But he's a character. Akira, that wasn't really Akira, but that dude looks like Akira. I don't think it's actually Akira.
Is it not?
No, I don't think it is.
Because I'm pretty sure
it looks just like him, but I don't think it's him. I think it's another character that's from Tekken.
I was just like, is this Street Fighter? What's going on?
And then it's Hayachi, and I'm like,
okay, well, that doesn't make it. They wouldn't bring Street Fighter to the Xbox One and then have this stupid Tekken character as an exclusive.
Well, you remember there was that Tekken Cross Street Fighter game, so yeah, maybe that's...
I was like, is that what they're doing again? What's going on?
But I thought the same thing. I was like, is that the dude from Street Fighter? But, I'm kind of wanting another Tekken game, kind of, but not really. You know?
I would love a new Virtual Fighter.
I never cared for Virtual Fighter. Virtual
Fighter, I think, is a much more, like, mechanic-based game that isn't, like, it would never be a mainstream game.
Yeah. So then Sony's press conference. I have to say this because I love my Xbox, but I really enjoyed Sony's press conference way more, and I just like the games that they showed. Now, the problem is with the games that they showed, we have no fucking clue when they're coming out, 90% of them.
I'm not as in love with their... I'll say the one weird thing is, like, they do this every year pretty much, is always have something that kills their momentum, and this year, it was, Star Wars music. Then the Lego Star Wars, the Star Wars Force Awakens trailer or whatever. I'm like, what is this doing here? Why is this here? This game comes out in like a week or two. Idiots.
I am excited about God of War, not Gears of War. I'm excited for that too, but I'm excited for God of War.
The Last of Us with the God of War skin.
I don't care. I want more. I want a God of War game, and I want them to kind of go back to the drawing board and try something new. And I want to know what this game is going to, how it's going to play and everything, just seeing how it looks.
Did you love the three proper games?
The what?
Did you love the
three? Oh, I loved God of War 1, 2, and 3, okay. Yes. Yeah. So.
See, that's where we differ.
I didn't think 3 was all that good to like about the halfway point, but 1 and 2 I thought were amazing.
Hated 3.
So. But I'm excited for God of War 4. With the fourth one, Ascension, was fucking terrible. That was.
Did that have a story mode, or was it really just like arena based things?
No, it was story. It was awesome. It had a pretty good campaign. I mean, it had a long campaign. It just wasn't any good. It was a prequel, and that's. I understand having prequels on the Vita because that makes sense, but having a prequel in after 3 was just stupid. It just didn't make any sense.
A prequel to 1?
It was a prequel to 1. Okay. Like another prequel to 1. I mean, the Vita games were prequels too. So, and Kratos is a character it makes no sense to have prequels for because he wasn't...
Doesn't he get all his powers in the first one?
Yes! It makes no sense. They always do this weird shit. And
Do they like just say whatever, it's all bullshit? Because does he still... Because he gets like... The first game is where he gets his power and like the ash on his skin, right?
So right.
He wouldn't be... Is he still white-skinned in the original games?
He don't get his skin in the first... He don't get the ash skin in the first game. That happens when his wife and daughter die.
I don't know.
So it takes place like sometime after that and before the first game, but he still got the chain blades and all that stuff. So he started out the first game with chain blades. So, but I love those first two games are amazing. 3 was okay, and that Ascension was fucking terrible. But I can't wait for this one in a Viking setting.
It could be good. I looked at the trailer. I'm like, I'm glad that they're at least doing something different. But I realize I don't really care about God of War, so they'll have to. I'll just wait and see for me on this.
And then they showed off that game Days Gone, which I thought looked really interesting. It looked like Last of Us, but fun to me. Looked like
I don't remember that one.
That was the they showed that it was at the very end of the conference.
Oh, so that's the name of it.
Days Gone.
Terrible.
Really, I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah. I was just like. This looks like The Last of Us. Like, it could be more interesting if it wasn't like... It looked like, I don't know, like a bad State of Decay. So you go, there's so many zombies that keep coming, and I'm
but sure... But see, that really looks fun to
like
me.
Unlimited ammo. It's just like, this looks boring.
Last of Us was boring to me, because all you did is fucking walk around and try to fucking sneak up on things to kill them. And when there was gunplay, it was fucking terrible, because it was Naughty Dog's gunplay. But Ben Studios is... They haven't made any great games. They made that Underdark Uncharted Vita game. So
aren't they like the handheld?
Yeah, they're like a handheld.
Did they do the God of War games?
No, that was the people that made The Order.
Oh yeah. Oh god.
So, surprised we didn't see The Order 2 at E3 this year.
They're the Siphon Filter team.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the old Siphon Filter games were pretty good.
I played so much of the demo for the first game because I loved it. You play in the first level, all I would ever do is tase the shit out of them until they lit up on fire, and then I would just keep holding it, and I would, like, laugh. I think that must have been
the second one, because in the first one, you couldn't hold the taser, but the second one added where they'd catch on fire.
I just, like, tase the shit out of all these people until they're dead. And then on fire, screaming, and I would never let go and just watch and laugh at them.
And one game that they showed last year that I was fucking impressed as shit with this year was that Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn. That's probably my game of the show.
That game looks a lot like Tomb Raider. and like, you know, it looks like it has the combat like of a the last Tomb Raider game and stuff like that, and it just looks like a lot of fun.
Scale of a Far Cry.
Yeah, it looks awesome. And last year I was kind of like, it looked like fucking Monster Hunter. This year it looks like something that's going to be a lot of fun to play.
It looks amazing. It looks like there's a lot. It just looks like it could be a real time. I just cannot wait to play it.
And that's exciting for me because, you know, we all shit on PS4, and it was like, you were excited about it in chat, you know. We talk in chat all the time, and you're like, you were excited about that game. It was like, I was like, oh my god, he's actually super excited about a PS4 game.
I just want to play it now, and it sucks that it was delayed, but, you know, I'm sure it'll be good for it. It blew me away. Because I remember, and it also, it's so nice seeing the Killzone team not do a Killzone game.
Mm-hmm.
And do something that's colorful. And just not Killzone.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping it's great, because then we don't need to get any more Killzone games.
Yeah. Killzone should be gone. You know, that last game was terrible enough to kill the series, in my opinion.
Got a Last of the Guardian trailer.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a reminder that this is so clearly a PS3 game. That game better fucking be $40. That should not be any more than that.
Do you really think it looks like a PS3 game that they just depressed?
It does not look like a current gen game at all.
The faces look terrible in the boy. I don't know.
It just looks like a PS3 game. Like a late gen PS3 game, which doesn't make it a bad looking game. The Last of Us is a late gen PS3 game. It looks very good.
Right. We'll see. That's coming out this year, supposedly in October. Was that when it was coming out?
Whatever.
You won't believe it till you have it in your hands. Is that
what I don't know. I don't even give a shit anymore at this point.
You bought a PS3 for that game and it never came.
I bought a PS3 for the next Metal Gear Solid game or whatever the next Team Miko game was. Didn't even know what they were. I was like, I need those games. I hated Metal Gear Solid 4. Fucking awful game.
Speaking of Metal Gear Solid, they played a trailer for the new Kojima game, and I don't know why people get excited. I mean, I know Kojima's a great thing, but that video was fucking stupid and showed nothing about what anything was, and people would just lose their shit over it. You already knew Kojima went to Sony. You already knew that. I mean, they don't even have a fucking engine yet. He said,
here, look, I'm alive. Here's Norman Reedus. Next year they'll have another trailer where it'll be the same trailer from last year, except it'll pull out and it'll be like the trailer's being played on a camera screen. And then you see in a director's seat, a co-director's seat, Guillermo del Toro, and then he'll pop up on stage. Because this is just whatever, what PT would have been.
I don't even think it's what PT would have been, because it's...
Well, we don't know what PT would have been.
Well, it was going to be Silent Hills, and it was...
Yeah, but it was based on that little demo, like it was just a bunch of nonsense. You just go through a hallway over and over again.
Which is boring as fuck. And people loved it. So, no reason why Resident Evil 7 is going to go that route. So, which I played the demo of that, and we'll talk about that in a bit, but, so.
You had Crash.
Crash Bandicoot.
It felt a lot like, I mean, not as bad as, but it felt like
the Conqueror.
Like the Conqueror. It's like, here, we're bringing Conqueror back in Project Spark. We're bringing Crash back. The old games.
Remastered by Activision. I was just like, it kept getting worse. It's like, we're bringing Crash back. Yay! 1, 2, and Warped. Oh. By Activision.
And Activision does not have a good track record. Because they are the studio that did Prototype, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you see what they did with those? They did not do a damn thing.
So, but, and then they showed off a bunch of VR shit that I could care less about. I want to be excited about VR, but knowing that I've got to have new consoles to play VR, and the price of VR, I'm just not excited about it anymore.
A new console for PlayStation VR.
It almost sounds like you're going to need a Neo to fucking get all the resolution and shit that you want.
That's all, like, in the box.
I don't know. We will see. $400, I can't swing it right now, which is... I mean, I could, but I don't know if I want to. So, I could if I really put my mind to it, but I just don't. I don't see anything that really wowed me.
I was disappointed by the lack of Ace Combat 7, which is why I have one pre-ordered, because I want to let my father be able to fly, because that's the one. Like, that's what he wants more than anything.
Is there actually? Is there actually a game coming, an Ace Combat 7 coming out?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It's coming out exclusive.
Is it day one with the...
I don't think so, or they probably would have showed something ahead of it, like a reel. I don't know. I just want to see. I'm guessing we'll see more of it at TGS.
Did you actually get to go try out the VR at Best Buy?
I went to Best Buy. I looked at it. I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Was it a line?
There were some people, and then it was just like, I don't want to wait, and then I don't want to look like the guy I'm looking at. Have other people looking at me like this dude.
When they were doing the eagle flying around in the Ubisoft press conference, that looked like the dumbest shit imaginable. I mean, the game looked fun, but when you see them up there on stage and their heads are juking back and forth, and it's like,
right, like, it's impossible to look cool playing a VR game. I'm sure, like, the experience is great.
Yeah.
They're still going to be having demos next weekend, too, so I might pop in at, like, an earlier time when I don't think it would be crowded.
Right on. But yeah, I thought Sony's press conference was pretty good. And there were other press conferences too. You know, EA's was pretty boring. It was too much sports. Not enough what people actually wanted to see at E3. I mean, I don't know why you could spend all the time on sports, because people know what sports are. You know.
Because that's all they have.
Well, they had Mass Effect. They had a trailer for that.
Well, yeah, but Mass Effect is never coming out, because all they had was a trailer of people working on the game.
So... I've watched some gameplay demos of Watch Dogs 2. I'm very excited about that. I think that game's gonna be a lot better received than the first one.
I don't care.
You're upset because it moved to San Francisco.
Exactly. So I don't care. But I don't need to be some fucking hipster black guy either.
Hipster black guy. And then Nintendo had their big press conference. Which was, here's this trailer for Zelda. Yay! And now we're going to speak about Pokemon for 50 fucking minutes.
Well, it's because the rest of the thing was just like, well, watch us play hours and hours of Zelda.
And I am so excited for that fucking Zelda game. I can't wait. I'm so impressed. I have told people I think this game is, they're going to be talking about this game for years to come. And it's going to change the way a lot of the open world games, especially role-playing games, play. I really believe that. I just thought it was fantastic. I mean, everybody's seen the videos by now. Everybody's watched the videos. Everybody's formed their own opinion on it. But I can't wait. And I want this game as soon as possible.
I have actually watched nothing.
Ugh. I was impressed as shit.
I can't get excited about it. Because it's just like, I think of Nintendo and then I'm like... But also, like, the thing that annoys me is that I want a pro controller. I don't want to pay for a pro controller. $50. It's $50 for a Wii U peripheral. God damn it.
Yes, but it'll probably work on your NX when you get one of those.
I am not getting it. 15 NX.
Years.
Because yeah. I'm like, I have Wind Waker I want to play through again. I have Twilight Princess. But then I'm like, I don't want to play on that controller. I want the Pro controller. Why can't you just let me use the GameCube controller? Why you gotta be like that? Ah, Nintendo.
Yeah, I actually have to play through Twilight Princess now before the new one launches, because if you, with the amiibo, you can get a wolf companion. Once a day, you can use the wolf companion and the new
that amiibo, like, they made three for this upcoming game. The one that's on the horse, holy crap, that one is gorgeous.
Yeah. But anyway, I guess that's... Do you have anything else you wanted to hit from E3?
Whatever. I'm excited about playing through Skyrim again.
Oh,
and
God.
Prey, it's so weird that it's like Prey 2 is gone, but now we hit Prey again, and it's just Prey, and it's like, I don't know. It could be good. Maybe it'll be like, you know, Riddick or something. I don't know. It's just such a weird life for that game.
Yeah. And maybe it will have all the stuff from... I mean, maybe it will have all the bounty hunting stuff. We don't know yet either, so... But anyway, let's get to what we've been playing, because damn, we took 50 minutes to talk about freaking E3 and Larry Elmore, so this show's gonna be longer than I expected.
I'll also say about E3, because I guess it was there, but it was the shorter trailer before. I think Agents of Mayhem looks stupid as shit.
I don't think it looks stupid as shit. I just don't think it's... I think it's going to be better than what you probably think.
I wish Saints Row would go back more so to being, like, just a crazy, kooky GTA and not being, like, we're now just, like, full-blown Crackdown. It's like, God, just... Why can't you just... Like, I want to ride around in a truck spraying shit at people. I don't want to do all this other crap. Just let me spray shit on people.
One of my favorite Xbox 360 moments is getting in the shit truck and spraying shit and seeing this old man on a walker, and he's just trying to walk as fast as he can because the shit's coming up behind him, and I just fucking knock him off his walker.
I mean, like, 2 and 3 were so good. And then 4 was just like...
3 wasn't that great.
Yeah, no, I think 2 is the highlight. But, I mean, like, 3 at least still kept it in the area, and then 4 was just like, let's have it in this dark area, and you just run around everything. What's the point of having cars anywhere? You're just going to run everywhere.
Did you play GAT?
No.
I need to play that because I didn't finish 4, but apparently Ancient of Mayhem takes place after the ending of GAT. So, in that same universe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the whole aesthetic look of the city being in, like, a computer generated and it was all blue, purple, that was terrible. But, so, anyway, let's talk about what we've been playing. Looks like you've been playing some Overwatch.
Yep.
Did you pick it up, or did you...
Got it from Gamefly.
Gamefly?
I've already put it back in the envelope, because I figure, to me, it's a game, when it hits 40, which would then make it 30 for me, I'll pick it up.
Okay.
Because it's fun, and I, you know, they're going to be adding some stuff to it, but the one thing that's so clear about it is that I think it would definitely be best playing it with people you know.
I've never played it with people I know except for Corey occasionally.
Strangers, it's such a fucking... You could get a good team, you get a bad team. It's just like it could be an awful experience. So you're like, oh, we don't have any medics. It's just like, okay, that means I should be the medic then. And then you pick a medic, and then you're like, what are you doing? You're just like hiding in this corner. Like, go out, I'm buffing you.
That is the most frustrating thing.
It's like, and then the worst part is when I'm like trailing a guy and he's moving forward and then he stops, but I kept moving because I didn't notice, and then I get killed because the person who should be, you know, shooting and taking damage and killing people is like, no, he hid behind me and let me die. Thank you.
See, I didn't know if you were actually playing last night when I got on. I was going to jump on, but then I wouldn't let me join your game because I forget that it's got a, you can't join games from menus in Overwatch, which is fucking weird. And everything, and I didn't know if you were online anyway. And if I sent you an invite, you would have ignored it anyway. So I just like, fuck it, and I went and played Fallout.
I may have, because I saw that you were online. It's like, oh, he's playing Fallout. Never mind.
So now you need to take it out of the envelope and play it again.
Mm-mm. Then I don't know. I can't reseal that thing.
Yeah, you just tape it up.
Oh. It'll probably be $40 soon enough. Everything goes cheap. You can get you can Mirror's Edge. But Overwatch, I think it's a really solid game. I think there are certain characters who definitely is like, oh, this character feels so much better with a mouse and keyboard. But it works pretty good with the controller. Very pretty. I really like the characters and the personality of it all. I realized that I really, really, really like Tracer. I love Tracer.
See, I can't use Tracer with the shit. My favorite characters are Reinhardt, Torbjorn, and Mercy.
My favorites are probably Tracer, whatever, the like cowboy guy and the Reaper guy.
So you like being the enforcers, the damage dealers.
It's just because that's like a very, it's something I'm used to just from other shooters, and you know, cause I don't play a lot of these like class based things. So like playing as a defense or support thing is like, oh, I have to become more familiarized with a less usual playstyle.
Well, and here's the good thing about this game is it has bots. It has bot matches, so, you know, you can learn all the characters that way, too.
And they have a little nice feature if you want to just mess around and learn characters where you just get a random new character when you die. You can have it set up.
I didn't like that mode. That was this week's mode, but it'll probably change on Monday or something.
This week's weekly mode is everyone's Soldier 73 or whatever.
Ugh.
And that, some of these I played that and I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, this shit's I don't like those mystery modes or whatever. They're just fucking.
They should be a match of the day, not of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. And me and you played some Mirror's Edge Catalyst. I don't think it's a bad game. I just don't think it has. I just don't think it's as good as the original.
I think it's bad because it requires a lot of precision, and then if you fail, you deal with the load times, and that sucks. So if you die or you have to start over a mission or thing, you know, and it, like, especially with these like things where you are timed and have to deliver something.
Yes, those are fucking the worst.
It's like you're not even sure exactly where you're supposed to go because you can't always see the trail. So that just means you're retrying this thing and then sitting through those load times, and it's just like, this is not fun.
And it's like you're supposed to like play through it the first time and almost get there, and you're supposed to be able to pay attention to where you could go and make up time, but you really can't. There's no way to pay attention. It's really hard to determine where the right location was. If they just put a fucking note on the map and say, hey, get here, I think it would be a lot better, because you'd at least know where you needed to go. So like, oh, I could take this here and run here and jump up on this thing and get there faster. And I'm just like, you can't even look up where you're supposed to go. It's like, oh, deliver this node, but you gotta follow this trail, and it's like, ugh, that shit's frustrating. And then if you fall off trying to, you know, miss a corner, you know, like try to jump from one corner to a bridge so you can save a second, you can fall to your death and have to wait for a fucking load time. And what's worse is it just starts off right there again where you gotta run.
I kind of wish it was just more of a linear game. I think it would work better than being this open world. I don't think it really adds anything to it. Just like, oh, we're going to do this because this is what games are now.
Well, the missions are more the linear mission progressions of the original game. And I mean, I guess you could just, and to me, it's just like the progression in this game doesn't even make sense. You're not earning anything that's even worth it. Like, the main thing is you're going to want to learn is how to get all those abilities, but you can't get those till you do certain missions. And, like, the gear and stuff, well, none of that stuff really, the gear in combat I could care less about because I'm trying to avoid fighting enemies 90% of the time. If I can.
The combat is stupid.
Yeah, the combat's way overcomplicated.
My dealings with the combat were, because I never fought anyone with a gun. I don't know if you got to that point.
No, I haven't.
But like, yeah, well, you have your weak enemies who you just like press X 3 times and that kills them,
mm-hmm.
or knocks them out. Then you have your stronger ones who all you really have to do, like I think they try to make it more complicated, all you have to do is the heavy kick from side to side to side to side to side. That's all you have to do, is just keep alternating and they'll be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there was some other one who like knocks you off a thing as part of the story at a point. I don't know if I've interacted with those again, but whatever.
Yeah.
So, if you're part of the Best Buy Gamers Club Unlocked thing, you can go to Best Buy right now, pick it up for $32.
Honestly, you'd probably be best just to buy a month of EA Access and play it for the 6 hours and be done with it.
Yep.
So, I mean, like I said, I don't think it's a bad game. I just don't think the load times kill it. They really do. I've been playing more Fallout 4. I'm kind of getting bored of Fallout 4 again after 48 hours of playing it. But I'm trying to get to the end of it. But it seems like, I don't know, I got to do this, that. I keep getting caught up in all the settlement bullshit. And it's like every time I do anything, I go back and look. And it's like, the settlement doesn't have enough beds. The settlement doesn't have enough food. And I'm like, ugh, you people are so whiny.
I hated the settlement thing. I don't know if they ever fixed it. Because the settlement thing would be like, oh, the main camp, whatever it's called. It's like, it doesn't have enough of this or that. And then I'd fast travel there. Because I'm like, bullshit, I know it does. I'd fast travel there. And it would just like that. Warning would disappear. I'm like, you sons of bitches.
Yep,
you made
still
my
doesn't.
Rating go down for no fucking reason. It's like I'm trying to hit 100 and you're not letting me because of your bullshit. Stupid ass shit.
Apparently, it's almost impossible to hit 100 unless you stand at the. Go ring a bell in town and stand there for 2 hours in real time. And then eventually, people. The happiness will go up because they're all sitting there with you. I don't know. That's what somebody said online. And that's how to get the achievement. And I was like, that's
people
the dumbest.
Really like bells.
So,
all right.
And then I played the Resident Evil 7 demo, which I didn't even realize was up there till like 2 days later when I'm watching YouTube and somebody's like, yeah, the Resident Evil 7 demo's up. I'm like, what? So I was all excited about this game. I find it creepy. I was like, ooh, this is interesting. You know, it was from the gameplay trailer they showed on TV, you know, and it was really interesting and kind of tense, but Nothing ever happened. It almost feels like Outbreak. And at the very end, I swear to God, I feel they're going the fucking the inbred cannibals route for this game, and I was turned off immediately. I have no desire to play this game if that's the case. Inbred cannibals is the dumbest fucking horror trope, and I can't fucking stand it. I think it's stupid, it's uninteresting, and it's just gore porn. And I can't fucking stand that shit. And if they're going to make a Resident Evil game and call it Resident Evil 7 and have that shit in there, I'd rather play Resident Evil 6 again. Over and over again. For the rest of my fucking life.
Or you could just not play any Resident Evil.
So I'm really hoping that that was just... that I got the wrong impression. Because if this is true, well, this is fucking travesty.
The game is not... it has nothing to do with the actual... the demo has nothing to do with the actual game. I think there might be like a character that'll be there, but the... but like the content of it is nothing to do with it. It's just like a standalone little, like, that's why it has its own name, which is like, I don't know what the hell.
But I will tell you this, it was way more entertaining up to that point than fucking PT was.
Well, because there's more to it. It's not just like, here, go through this hallway over and over again.
I mean, you were actually exploring a house and creepy shit was going on. I still don't understand the PT love. I just don't get it.
Resident Evil 7 teaser demo : Gone Home Edition.
So, but, you know, I just hope they're not going the old Outbreak route. I want action in my Resident Evil games. I'm sorry. It's, you know, I know that they're trying to reinvent themselves, and it just seems like they're trying to really cop on that PT feel. And, I mean, I really feel like they did it better, but that's not the Resident Evil game I really want to play. I was really freaked out when I seen the trailer on TV. I was like, whoa, they really did fucking something different. But after playing it, I'm like, I don't know if this is a good different. So, and I can't fucking stand it. I just can't stand inbred cannibals. I hope to God it's not inbred cannibals. Ugh. I remember going to see that fucking movie Wrong Turn at the theaters. And I was married at the time. So that's how long ago this fucking movie was. And it was so creepy and tense. The previews were so creepy. And I was like, oh, this could be so good. And then it became fucking inbred cannibals. And I fucking, oh, I wanted to walk out of that movie so bad. It was fucking terrible.
You're like, you want to go to the... back to the cashier and be like, I took a wrong turn into this theater. Can I have my money back?
All right, Mark, you had one thing to talk about.
I went back to Far Cry 4, and I finished it. Did not care about any of the stories. I went the Amita route, and then when I ran into her again in the city, I just completely killed her right after the... I was like, let this cutscene end. You're a horrible bitch. Let me kill you. Let me kill you. Let me kill you. And then I killed her. And that was very... It wasn't that satisfying because she just kind of like flops there. And then her two cronies were mad at me, so I had to kill them. But I ran away to see if they would, like, you know, not be angry at me after I came back. But they still were. And then her body disappeared, so I didn't even get to, like, mutilate her body or anything.
Jesus Christ. That
was disappointing. I didn't kill Pagan Min because I was like, you're whatever. You're fine. What I realized playing that game is that, and after a certain point, just exploring the world got boring too. But that's the part of the game that's fun, because I think the mission design is awful in Far Cry 4.
You've not played Primal, have you?
Mm-mm. I think I would prefer that, but I did not like any of the mission structure in Far Cry 4, and I think they did too much of it, not just with the Yogi and whatever the other guy's name is missions, but there are too many times where it's just like, oh... you're breathing in this smoke, or this is happening, now you're high, and, like, your weapon just disappeared, and, like, shit's going crazy. You have to keep killing this guy over and over again, because you're just, like, killing a ghost. Like, can't I just do a normal mission? Why do I have to keep getting drugged all the time? And that wasn't fun. But, it's still...
it's like
really
they doubled
crazy.
Down on what some of the people thought was interesting in 3.
Yeah. But, yeah. I like to play Primal, because what I was thinking, too, is that, like, what I want right now... it's just like a super relaxing game where I can just like go at my own pace, like a Harvest Moon. I don't know if there's going to be, I don't know if there is a good one that's released.
Stardew Valley's lately. Coming out.
That's the thing I was just about to say, is that I saw that in like the indie trailer for Xbox One. I'm like, I did not know this is coming to consoles. I cannot wait for that to come out. So I'm super excited for that. But I was thinking like, I wish there was like a good hunting game out. And then I'm like, well, maybe Far Cry Primal is kind of like that. But yeah, I just play Far Cry 4. I also play Max Payne PS2 on PS4 game, And, like, it doesn't look that great, but, like, the bullet time in that still just feels, like, so right. But, yeah.
You said Max Payne, and I thought you were playing Mad Max, and I was like, well, I'm so confused right now.
No. Yeah.
Apparently somebody said that one of the next games that's going to be coming out is Psychonauts.
The second one?
No, the first Psychonauts is coming out on PS2, PS4.
Oh, maybe. And I know they have that like VR game, which is like across. It's like the bridge between 1 and 2. I don't know.
But I don't know if I could go back to playing Psychonauts. That game controlled weird back then. I can't imagine how shitty it controls now.
I never played it. I played like the demo, I think, and then I was just like, okay, whatever.
God, demos. You remember when that used to be a thing?
I remember Official PlayStation Magazine. I remember watching the disc for that had the like 20-minute little like mini documentary for SOCOM, the first one, over and over and over and over. Because I'm a huge like traditional military shooter guy,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like so I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be amazing, and I was like so depressed because like I don't have broadband. No, but I love that game. Like I was so like I played so many matches of Delta Force Black Hawk Down, like probably in the tens of thousands, and I was like at the top of the leaderboard in terms of sniper accuracy. I was like the best sniper in the game, like one of them, because I would like my accuracy with a sniper rifle was like between 40% and 50%, and that's a game where you have to like anticipate bullet dropping and like leading people and stuff. It's not like just like, oh, you put it on the, you put the crosshairs on the target and it's an automatic kill. That's not how it works. But I love that game. I love military shooters. I love military movies. I love military stuff in general. Not like crazy kooky stuff, but realistic stuff. I don't even know what the hell I was talking about anymore.
Black Hawk Down.
Yeah. Well, I don't like know how I got on this whole military thing. So I remember talking about Max Payne, and then
Psychonauts. We went to Psychonauts, and so, it's the demo. Then SOCOM. Yeah, demo disc to SOCOM. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Demos were awesome. They were around a little bit for the beginning of the 360, right? That's when they kind of like had their last.
Yeah, they were kind of. They were in the 360s for a while. Yeah. I mean,
the official Xbox magazine, where and those are like weird. It's like here, you play these demos, and then you get wallpaper for your system and stuff like that. Well, which is kind of cool.
And also, you got the pictures for your character. Your gamer tag pictures as well.
Yeah.
So weird. That was such a weird time and such a good idea. Now we can't get new gamer tag pictures until they allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I think we should probably put a cap on this one.
Yeah? You didn't watch anything or whatnot?
No, I didn't go see Turtles. I didn't go see anything.
I still haven't seen Turtles.
That should be shocking, but it's really not.
I'm still trying to recover from Mutants in Manhattan. That shit was so depressing. I don't know. It's just, I like killed so. Oh god, that game. And like it's so much more depressing because it's not only a shitty game, but I fucking bought that game.
Oh.
You know how many games I pre-order?
None.
How many games I buy? Like I think the last game before that was probably Metal Gear Solid 5. Shit.
All right, let's get our plugs in.
All right, well, I can be found on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, Xbox Live, Monomilis, all the usual places. PX Sausage on PSN. I'm the Kush 3. That is the KUSH number 3. Site is of course pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the Pixelated Sausage Podcast, my art, and a whole bunch of other crap, and a podcast that Rob will talk about. I'll let him talk about that. You should also check out the Sports Car Unleashed podcast at scunleashed.com, which is Rich's racing podcast. I'm still not sure if it's back or if it'll be back pretty soon, hopefully. You know, let's hope his co-host is doing very, very well, hopefully. And, of course, with all these podcasts, go to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe to them if you haven't already, because that would greatly help. And if you want to support the site, a few bucks every month, you can go to patreon.com/pxs and become a Patreon.
All right, and I just want to plug, I'm Henderson Man on most social media networks, except for Snapchat. Somebody took fucking Henderson Man, fucking asshole.
You're on Snapchat?
I just joined Snapchat.
I got rid of it. I was like, what the fuck is a
point? I'm Henderson Man 77 there.
It's just the messaging app.
Yeah, it really is with pictures.
It's not like a Twitter or something where you can find people and like, or people can find. No, it's just like here, people need to know your name and then.
No, there's a search.
I don't know.
I had to look for it because I wanted to add the Henderson Man guy to find out who the fuck he was. It's probably Dan Dizzle or somebody. Fucking stole my name. Fucking jackass.
No. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Fucking have my heavy ring.
But yeah, you can find me at HendersonMan77 on Snapchat. Add me because I don't have very many friends on that. I think the only person I've gotten a picture from is Carrie. And then the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast.
I was about to say, like, you forget? I was like, am I gonna have to bring up that podcast?
We recorded episode 4? 3? 3? Is it 3?
I believe so.
Episode 3 of the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast. I'm still waiting for those files to get delivered to me.
Number 4.
Is it number 4? I was thinking it was 4. Still waiting for those. Basically, what we're trying to do is we're going to try to release it on a day of the week. We're looking at Tuesdays. So, you know, you'll get this podcast Sunday nights, and then you got Tuesdays to listen to us, and you got Mark's nonsense and everything else. And Mark, I plugged your fucking podcast. I plugged the fucking shit out of that podcast. I don't want to hear your fucking crybaby shit anymore. I plugged it so well this past Thursday night.
If you fucking bitch about it on this show, I'm gonna edit out everything else from the show, and it's just gonna be a minute of you plugging it.
I plugged Mark's show.
I hope. If you still record it when you do, that it's not like you wait until like the last minute to give me it before Tuesday, because I would like some time to prep it beforehand.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get it the files today. That was when I was supposed to be getting the files, but it's already 2:00, and these two fuckers ain't sent me their files yet, so I can put this shit together. So hopefully I'll have it tonight delivered to you. So, but we talked about a lot of sleep deprivation stuff. Astral spiders.
Spiders.
We talked about Megan Fox and her crusade to let the unknown out, which I thought was pretty interesting. So,
Fox not as terrible as so many people make her out to be.
No,
not she's saying she's great or anything, but I'm like, she's not like some terrible actress or like just like whatever.
Yeah, I read her interview and we talked about it a little bit about her. Going to Egypt for the Transformers movie and going to the when they went to the pyramids, her and Shia LaBeouf, that one of the people there told her that, you know, there was never any sarcophaguses or anything found in the site. That was just stuff that they said was here to fool tourists and stuff like that. So they have really no idea what the pyramids are. Now, that's what she was told. Is it true? I don't know, but it makes a fascinating story, and we talk about that. And and you know, it honestly would make sense to me if that was the case, but
there's no way to really know anything,
right? Well, but you can learn more about what's going on in the world by listening to the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, hopefully every Tuesdays.
Holy shit.
What?
I just found out actor Anton Yelchin died.
Who is that?
He was, I think, Scotty in the Star Trek movies. Oh. He's also in some horror movie things. He did Friday Frights remake. He was in that. He died in a car accident.
Oh, damn.
Only 27. He's only 27. God damn it. I'm 30.
Oh, he's a young guy. I was thinking you were talking about the old man, Scotty. I was like, oh, he's dead already, but... Oh, man.
Yes.
You said Star Trek movies, and I was going back
to... Scotty.
Oh, that sucks.
I liked him, too.
So, all right. Well, on that note, I think we're done.
Yeah, whatever. I hope it's not a hoax. Whatever.
Inquiring minds want to know. It may be a hoax, guys. Don't get your hopes up. Or
I don't know. If it's a hoax, it's tricked everyone.
Oh, okay.
Even George Takei has come out with a statement saying that. So.
Gotcha. Alrighty, well, everybody, have a good couple weeks.
Yep. Don't die in a car accident. Nothing. Whatever. Because I can't come back from that. Happy Father's Day, everyone.